Tonight, I want us to look at liberating grace. And for those of you who would like to have a copy or printout of what I've written, all you need to do is contact us at Van Grove Baptist Church and be glad to get you a copy of the printouts. And I got a lot in this one because I want you all to keep these at home or keep them with you when questions are asked about a lot of these topics. I've got some of my added on stuff of comments, but also the scripture that can help us on the liberating grace. I want to begin with a little self-evaluation quiz. Now, consider how you'd answer these questions. Here we go. Do you ever feel guilty when you relax knowing you've got a lot to do? Next, do you often feel dissatisfied or discontent with yourself or your situation? Next, do you have a tendency to see something wrong with things rather than what's right? Next, do you ever find yourself using these phrases often? I have to, I must, I ought to, I should be able to. Do you ever feel frustrated or maybe even angry at God, feeling that His expectations on you are unreasonable? Now listen, folks, whether you admit to this or not, I know good and well that we do. It's in our thought process. It's in our prayer. A lot of times, Lord, you call me to do something, and then why do I have to deal with all of this garbage in the process? Or you get angry because of, and it's not righteous anger. It's just angry from the human standpoint of Lord, I thought that this wasn't going to happen to me because I'm serving you. Okay, does your relationship to God seem like a burden rather than a blessing? One of the young men that I talked to over the years, more than that probably, but one I was confronting about a comment that he'd made about his ministry of call to the preaching ministry, and his anger was in that his wife did not want him doing certain things. And I said, well, are you going to follow your calling that you say you have from God or your wife? He said, I knew my wife before I ever accepted Christ as Savior, much less a calling. So I'm not going to lose my wife over my calling. He had a lot to work with. I don't know how that's working. If you can answer yes to any of these questions, guess what? You're probably afflicted with perfectionism. People say, well, I'm anything but a perfectionist. Now, certain people, well, let me get into it. There are two great enemies of grace. Here they are. One of them is legalism. Trying to earn God's approval through rules. When you do that, then grace is not a part. You see, folks, our relationship with God through faith based on His grace, if you take away grace and then you try to keep rules to do it, then, well, actually the scripture says anything that you pull away from the blood of Christ means that you're stepping in the blood of Christ, disrespecting the blood of Christ. So again, if I decide, okay, I'm going to earn approval from God, I didn't earn God's grace. It was a gift. Okay. And if I do that, then where does the blood of Christ come in? The other is perfectionism. Legalism and perfectionism. You'll see it a lot of times go hand in hand. Perfectionism is trying to prove your worth by attempting to project perfection. Now, all of us have been through life for a while, and we've learned that those people who try to convince us that they're perfect, we shut them out just as soon as they open their mouth, right? But many try to project that. Well, now this is how a Christian is to act, how a Christian is to dress, how what a Christian is to say, how you're supposed to sit, and to get through all of this legalism, and that individual then in thinking they're perfect, then the only way that you can truly say that you are a Christian is if you act the way I act and say Jesus the way I said Jesus. Now, there's the great sin in that. Does it not also, have we thought that, does that not take away from the Word of God and the love of God when we interject more of ourselves into relationships with one another rather than Christ in our relationship with God the Father? I am a child of God because of grace and faith in Jesus Christ, not because I am going to work to be perfect. And I'll deal with the scripture in a moment that makes many people say, well, you, as I am perfect, you have to be perfect, but we'll deal with that. Liberating grace, Galatians 3:3. You began your life in Christ by the Spirit. Now are you trying to make it complete by your own power? That's foolish. Actually, Paul was pretty rough in his words. On a lot of these translations that I look at and smile at, and knowing the background on them, I've noticed that everything is cleaned up over time. There was a lot of the King James version that preachers would not preach because of the language that in which it was, the prophet actually said it. Well, just like the songs, you know, of Amazing Grace, and, you know, that of how saved a wretch like me, which was saving, it was a vile something like me. But, you know, that's a little rough, so we do. But the prophets, especially Paul and all of them, use quite graphic language to get everybody straightened out. How attempted perfectionism harms us. Number one, it defeats your initiative. You set your standard so high that perfectionism causes paralysis and you can't get anything done. If you want to perfect something, you're going to stare at it, and as a perfectionist, you never get it right. So all day you're staring at a situation thinking it's going to be perfect, and it won't. So what happens, we become paralyzed because, oh, I need to be perfect, but I can't be perfect. Ecclesiastes 11:4, if you wait for perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done. If you're waiting to get it perfect, it's not going to work. You'll never do it. Number two, it damages your relationships. Perfectionism is a relationship killer. Do you enjoy being around somebody who always, who is always correcting what you do? Now, perfectionists focus on that. A perfectionist is an individual that's going to show how perfect they see themselves as by correcting anybody around them and attempting in many cases to make that individual feel like there's something wrong with them. So that will puff that individual up to say, see, one day you'll be perfect like me. Now, that's a bad thing. All of us are perfectionists to one degree or another. But this desire to always correct someone damages all relationships. That'll destroy a marriage. That'll destroy a relationship in church. That'll destroy anything that's going on in your life when you're judgmental of everybody else, which again pulls you back to thinking, see, follow me because I am perfect. Well, I thought Jesus was the one who said follow him because he is the only perfect. But a lot of folk want to decide that they know what's best for somebody else. Proverbs 17:9, love forgets mistakes. Well, I'm thankful on that one. Love forgets mistakes. Nagging about them parts the best of friends. Individuals who nag, the biggest whiners and naggers I've ever met are men. Men are horrible about nagging and whining. Number three is how perfectionism harms. It destroys your happiness. You know why? Because if you're depending on perfectionism to be happy, you're never going to be happy. Can't happen because you're not going to be perfect. Ecclesiastes 7:16, do not be excessively righteous. Yeah. Individuals who are, I walk a lot closer to Jesus than you walk to Jesus. No, you don't. And the more you say stuff like that, the further away you are, my friend. Each of us, in accepting Christ, Christ walks with us according to his relationship with us. Not according to what others say his relationship is to you. Do not be excessively righteous and do not be overly wise. That means think you are. Why should you ruin yourself? And you will ruin everybody around you when you're the righteousness. Oh, now let me tell you something. I've just come here to tell you what a sinner you are so that you'll straighten your life out. Oh, gosh. You know, I don't know if anybody has any form of intellect or any sense at all that's foolish enough to attempt to do that with an individual. He's not talking about genuine righteousness. He's not talking about real wisdom. He's talking about perfectionism. What you're saying is that individual is saying, well, I'm so religious, I don't want you getting too close to me because I am perfect, and if I am perfect, you get around me, I'm going to be flawed. You got more people than you think that have that kind of an attitude. You can take any virtue and make a vice out of it by taking it to the extreme and ignoring the balancing parts to it. You take the Bible and make the book itself a religious focus, or that book is more important than the author of the book. That's taking the Bible to which is a virtue for us to read it, but it's taking it to the extreme. Because you're actually placing, and I've seen people that get really hot. I can't believe that preacher was preaching, and he said, I'm standing on the Word of God, threw his Bible in the floor and stood on it. How disgraceful that was. Can't picture myself ever doing it. But the thing is, you know, if that was a focus, he got the message across, I guess. When you're in the perfectionism mode, you're always saying to yourself, here it is, I'm too skinny, I'm too fat, I'm too tall, I'm too short, I'm too uncoordinated, I'm always late, I'm never going to change, I'm not good at this, I'm dumb. And on and on and on and on. Okay, let's get to the part of how to relax in God's grace. It's an acrostic again. So, relax let's see what each letter means in their acrostic. R in relax means realize nobody's perfect. Psalm 119:96. Nothing is perfect except God's word. Did you get it? Remember that Jesus is called the Word. It's another name for Jesus. Ecclesiastes 7:20. There is no one on earth who does what is right all the time and never makes a mistake. You remember a few years back when the book out, I'm Okay, You're Okay. Remember that book? And I remember talking about it in a message and everything. That's a bunch of garbage. The whole focus is, I'm okay, you're okay. Well, I'm definitely not okay, and I can tell you, you all aren't okay either. We are not all okay. There's some areas in our life that we will never be okay. The truth is, I'm not okay, you're not okay, and God says that's okay. Got it? E in relax is enjoy God's unconditional love. We Christians, why we don't just enjoy the love that God has for us instead of, well, you know, if I do this, God's going to love me more. No, it's not. You got all the love that God's ever going to have for you already. Nothing you do is either going to take away from that love or add to that love. We think of that from the human standpoint. God's not a man that he should lie, and if I'm going to worship him, it will be in spirit and in truth. It's the only way God can be worshipped. 1 John 3:1, see how very much our Heavenly Father loves us, for he allows us to be called his children. Think of it. And we really are. We're his children. That's love, folks. You're not just a servant of God anymore. You're a child of God. Listen to these. A servant is accepted and appreciated on the basis of what he does. A child is accepted and appreciated on the basis of who he is. A child rests in the secure love of his family. A servant is accepted because of his workmanship. But a child is accepted because of his relationship. Romans 8:31. If God is for us, who can be against us? Or on a translation there would be, who can be against us, or what good would it do someone out there to be against us if God is for us? The L in relax in God's grace is let God handle things. Boy, do we have a problem with that. I'm letting God handle things. I just trying to help him out and how I want to see him do it. At the root of perfectionism is the desire to control. Somebody always wants to control somebody else. I see the bickering in marriages where young couples, after a while, it's completely out of hand. And one, either the wife or the husband, wants to control the other one and always wanting to change one of them. And my focus was always in the counseling, well, if you fell in love with the wild guy, how come, and you married him because you liked that little wildness, how come now You want to change him or change her. Who did you fall in love with? The guy or the woman that you're married to now, or the one that you used to be married to later on, and it's the same person? We destroy each other's life. We destroy each other's individuality. That's a great, great danger in all marriages. Romans 8:31. Did I do that? Yep. Let God handle things at the root of perfection, desire to control. There's where I was. But most of our life is out of our control. I might say this is what I'm going to do after a while. And folks, I may not make it from here to the steps before I go to glory. I might not be able to look at things and say it's out of control, but I guarantee the majority of things that go on in our life, you don't have control over. You have no control over it all. You can't control whether somebody likes you or not. The only one that we know for certain that truly loves us is Christ. All the rest of this stuff, our relationships here on earth are just to get through this life. We're not even married in heaven, people. Our relationship here is support. Our relationship here is to be a helpmate to one another. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Anxiety. Well, Lord, I've given you all this anxiety, but I'm going to have to take something to calm me down after I do that. And let me tell you something. It is this generation and maybe a few even back. Folks, many people did not have the medications that I see today. We know that. But those medications work for people. And it's been, most of our problem is something that is an imbalance, chemical imbalance, or some people just downright mean. You need to give them a pill so they won't be so mean. So anyway, anxiety. Lord, I'm anxious. You know, I'm hurting. I can't get my life. And I think we could see some of the Lord's comments to us would be, well, you know, you have the best doctors in that town that I have sent there, and these people know what's... Because we have to keep this vehicle in working condition. If not, folks, our spirit will suffer. If you don't feel good physically, if you don't feel good emotionally, then, folks, you're not going to feel good spiritually. We're all hooked together here. Proverbs 14:30, a relaxed attitude lengthens a man's life. I don't know, is there a thing? Okay, things don't have to be perfect for us to be happy. You agree with it? You know why you agree with it? Because nothing's perfect, folks. Things in your life are not perfect. Things don't have to be perfect for us to enjoy them. There is no such thing as a perfect vacation. Paul said it like this. I've learned to be content in whatever situation I am. I've learned to be content no matter what state I'm in. Now, yeah, and I want you to notice that he says learned. I, by nature, am not a contented person. I, by nature, am discontented. I had to do this. We know Paul was a southerner because he says, I thank God for you all. We know he was not a Texan because he says, I've learned to be content in whatever state I'm in. And no Texan I've ever met would make that kind of a statement. Nothing like Texas. A in our relax is act in faith, not fear. Ephesians 2:8, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. Folks, don't let anybody attempt to put fear in your heart, because you're not acting like a Christian that they think, the way they think a Christian ought to be acting. I see people that really get bothered by this. You know, it just hurts them because somebody don't think that they are acting Christ-like in the way that they're doing. And you get in the mess of trying to, well, let me see, what do I need to do to please this one and that one? You're not going to please them. Jesus didn't please them. The way you got into the Christian life is the way you continue the Christian life. Where did all of this stuff change? You know, who in the world decided that, yes, you're saved by grace through faith? Now, after you're saved, you're going to have to be a legalistic or strive for perfectionism. Then they'll use a scripture I'll show you in a minute to say, see, this proves it. The way you became saved is the way you continue to be saved by grace through faith. Colossians 2:6. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him. I'm saved. Why? Christ took up his abode in our spirit. The real us in here in this vehicle. Christ has allowed us to be a part of him and he to be a part of us. People think because the body breaks down and all of this, then you have broken your spiritual contact with Christ. Folks, you are a spirit. And this body is the vehicle to carry the spirit. We've got two more coming up. We've got a spiritual body. And Paul says if there is a physical body, there is a spiritual body. That means when we leave this body, it goes to dust. Then we will have the glorified body. That's where Jesus has now, the glorified body. And we will have that body, and everybody says, how old you going to be? Listen, there is no such thing as age in God's realm any more than there's any such thing as time in God's realm. So therefore, many have said, well, it would be the age Christ was, and that's why. Folks, what we're still trying to do is to relate the human existence to the spiritual. You can't do that. You know, we're trying to think, now this is why I'm going to be perfect. You have the great physique, the great figure, and what are you thinking about? The essential things of life. You're thinking about the things that humans think about. And the Lord said, you were way out of the ballpark on that, boys. That was a paraphrase. Colossians 2:6, so then, yep, you're not saved by grace and then live by works, according to Scripture. Here's the E in the X in relax. Now, when I got an X that you have to have an acrostic for, it's not the easiest letter of the alphabet to just put on the front. So, the exchange our perfectionism for God's peace. Perfectionism destroys peace. You're going to live with one or the other. Perfectionism or peace. This is the offer Jesus Christ makes, and it's still valid today. Listen to Matthew 11:28-29. I use the Message version on it. Are you tired or worn out? Burn out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Learn the unforced Rhythms of Grace. Grace is the rhythm is that of Jesus Christ. Okay, I wrote this. Let me read it to you, and we will, because I want you to, again, keep these, because you will have somebody that will, you know, pop into your life that will make a comment concerning perfectionism and works and all of this. This will be a great study for it to keep. God is perfect, and because God is perfect, he expects his children to be perfect. Jesus even said it. Now listen to me. He said, "Be ye perfect, even as I am perfect." But he also knows there's no chance you're going to be perfect. He knows that's impossible. So he came up with grace. That's why God sent Jesus, because Jesus is perfect, and we get in on his perfectionism. To be okay, when the Lord said, "Be ye perfect, even as I am perfect," the only way that can be is if Christ, I accept him as Lord and Savior and believe in his perfectionism. So if I'm going to be perfect as he is perfect, he's the one that's got to do it. I can't do it. How can I do as Jesus is? I haven't even raised the first dead person yet, much less worked on the perfectionism part. I haven't walked on water. Well, Peter did for a little bit. But in Christ, we are perfect, folks. You can either try all you want to, or you can just accept the perfection of Christ and say, "Let me in on his perfect grace." You're going to fail a lot in life, folks. I wish growing Christians or older Christians or people professing to be Christian will quit telling young folk and others that as soon as you become a Christian, everything is great. You're going to fail a lot in life. You're going to fail in many responsibilities that you've been given. You're going to fail in the expectations that other people place on you. You're going to let them down. You're going to fail in your own expectations. You are your worst critic, folks. You. Of course, you're going to fail measuring up to God's standards of perfection. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short. Notice something. Everything God shows us says this is what you need to be. It's just like the law. He gave us the law so that man would understand he can't keep the law. Everything pointed straight to Christ. Then Christ comes, and in the coming of Christ, he let us know that we're going to fail in so many areas, but in Christ, there can't be a failure because you don't have anything to do with it. But you don't have to worry about that if you've received God's grace, right? In fact, there's only one failure you ever need to worry about, and here it is. You'll need this scripture. It's the failure stated in Hebrews 12:15. Be careful that no one fails to receive God's grace.